A Gathering of Days, an American holiday sampler. For Valentine's Day, here's Attachments, produced by Jenna Allison and Catherine Stifter.
James B. He likes Tiffany, me, Carrie, Yassi.
When I was in Head Start, I got into a relationship that lasted the whole 5 weeks. I remembered it just like it was yesterday.
I liked a certain girl, and I walked up to her one day, and I said, it's hard for me to say this, but I really, really like you. Well, she said, I don't like you, so why don't you just get lost?
My idea of romance, it was entirely based on the Anne of Green Gables novel. I thought that I would marry a clean, wonderful man who would be able to just adore me for the wonderful qualities that I possessed.
I think I learned most of my attitude toward romance and love from rock and roll songs, really. And I can remember maybe one of the first times when I was young, 11 or 12 years old, laying and listening to the radio for a long time and getting real kind of sad and emotional about all the love songs.
When I was in second grade, I really liked Lori O'Brien, but I got over it. Then in third grade, I didn't have a girlfriend. In fourth grade, the beginning of it, nobody really liked me because I looked like a dope and everything.
I remember falling in love with Barbara Love. She had the neatest short shorts. And she was real pretty. She had a very sculpted face and kind of looked like a sixth grade cover girl. And I suppose it was just that that made me fall in love. So it was some sort of longing of being with this beautiful person.
One day, my teacher had her little brother come to visit. And he had on a regular woolen suit with a jacket and polished black shoes. Not those rough shoes, you know. And he was beautiful, and I fell madly in love with him.
I had a crush on Linda Bergadine. I couldn't take my eyes off of her. I just loved her. I sat behind her in class, and I liked the smell of her hair. And she gave me some of those candy hearts, and I thought she loved me.
I think it's just as easy for me to be in love with the idea of someone being in love with me as it is to have a real human being around. Maybe that's some kind of Prince Charming complex or something. I don't know.
The other day when you walked home with me, I got to wondering what I wanted you to think of me in case I should ever happen to see you again.
And what did you decide?
I decided I should probably never dare to be just myself with you. Not if I cared to have you want to see me again.
Alice, I'd like to see you pretty often if you'll let me. Will you?
Well.
Well?
Everybody just kind of stayed home until Saturday night came, and then naturally they came to Easton from all the little towns around. And we had a little drive-in restaurant like you see in the 50s movies, because this was the 50s, and that's where you met everybody. Beans Drive-In, that's what it was called. They drove around the block like they call cruising now. We didn't know that word then, but the same idea.
I like looking for the guys in the cars. I don't know, maybe it's just something about, you know, you can say, well, yeah, look at my boyfriend. Look what he's doing for me. You know, this my man and all that.
We check out the car. If it looked good, then you check out who's driving. If they look good, then you try to get to know them a little bit better, see, so you could ride around so your friends could see you riding around in this great car.
Tiffany and Jerry and sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage. Then comes your baby carriage.
Almost the second day I was in kindergarten, standing in front of me in line ready to walk into the school was a little blonde girl. While we were standing there, I just reached around and kissed her on the cheek because I'd seen my parents do this, my mother do this anyhow. That night she told her father, and the parents came the next day to the school, and the next day after that, there was a tremendous ruckus going on between my family and their family and so on. And so for the next 24 years, I never kissed another woman. I made a pact with myself that I wasn't even going to go on a date with a girl until I owned a house and a lot and had $5,000 in the bank.
And in fifth grade, I had a lot of girlfriends. Yeah, I went with Sarah Maloney three or four times at the beginning of the year, and then I went with this girl named Annie Hoover. I forgot what order it went in, but I think I went with Tammy Morris then.
There was a point in sixth grade where it was kind of like, okay, we have to now officially all start getting crushes. And it was just like a job you had to do, the way you had to suddenly start wearing a bra or whatever. And so it was kind of difficult for some of us, because, for example, I personally didn't really feel the urge or whatever. But I took to it just the way I took to, you know, learning geography or, you know, learning rivers and so on. So I was like, okay, who am I going to get a crush on? And at first I tried, like, TV characters, but they said, oh, no, it's got to be somebody, you know, local. I thought, geez, what am I going to do? Get an all-girls school. So finally my friend Debbie said, why don't you get a crush on Lou? And so I was like, okay, because I thought I never see him, and, you know, it would be safe and all that. I could just say, I have a crush on Lou Werner. People really, probably wouldn't even know him, and, you know. So I was like, okay. So I started doing that. I started saying I have a crush on Lou Werner, and the other girls in my class would be like, oh, doesn't he go to, you know, such and such a school, and which was kind of like a hotshot school for rich kids. And I'd be like, yeah. And I'd be like, oh. And they started looking at me a little different, you know, like, gee, we just thought you were a, you know, fat, greasy kid with buck teeth and glasses, but you must be somebody if you have a crush on Lou Werner.
We play tag, and if they catch you, they get to kiss you. And then, you know, it's kind of stupid, but then the
school I went to had just acres and acres and acres of woods and prairies and fields and pastures. And Sadie Hawkins Day was sort of like a free-for-all. They'd blow a whistle, and all the boys would run, and 5 minutes later, all the girls would come after them. And I just wanted to hide. I didn't want to get caught.
Sixth grade, I started to like boys, I think, but I wasn't done climbing trees. Warren Weaver had a crush on him. Never kissed or anything. Just liked Warren Weaver because he was a boy.
I remember when I was 13 and someone kissed me on the lips. We were playing kiss chase, and I always, whenever someone caught me, I always made them kiss me from the side, because I always thought that if they kissed me head on, like face to face, that I'd be pregnant. One day this boy came up and grabbed me and just kissed me on the lips. I mean, not passionate, just kissed me. So I thought I was pregnant. So I went home and told my mum that I was pregnant, and she was absolutely hysterical. When she calmed down, she said, well, how did this happen? So I said, oh, Tony Hunt kissed me on the lips. Oh, my God, someone's going to have to tell you the facts of life. But she never did.
There was Karen. She was kind of a freaky little person I knew in high school. She was a lot of fun, and we got along really well. And one time, I kissed her. We kissed each other. So what I did was I scrunched up my lips, you know, as tight as I could get them, and I pressed as hard as I could. I didn't find out until later that year, around Christmas time, that wasn't really a kiss, because there was Michelle who lived around the corner from me. She did the most horrible thing. She stuck her tongue in my mouth.
The first real kiss I had that had all of the elements of passion and sexuality and all the rest of it was... I must have been about 17. It was in back of a store in Fargo, North Dakota. And we would fondle each other for a while. And then I remember when her mother and her father were busy selling, what were they selling? Buttermilk. They used to sell them big goblets full of buttermilk for a nickel. And while they were preoccupied, we were kissing in back of the store.
Like, a boy will come up and ask you, like, would you like to go with me? And if you really like him and everything or whatever, if you're really interested in him and you really like him, so you say, well, I'll go with you. And so sometimes people give each other a bracelet, the friendship bracelet, and it has to have these little links on it, like, and that means that you're attached, that's what they call it. And sometimes people will buy each other rings and stuff like that, but most of the time they just hold hands and you'll have a bracelet on that means you're attached.
I was going with Michelle. We held hands a little bit. My hands sweat, and she said, oh, your hands sweating. Yeah. It's very nerve-wracking.
I was most requested guy at that school. I wasn't alive to her. It's like one of those storybook things where the woman you want doesn't know that you want her, and everybody else in the world does.
I was planning to give a certain person a box of candy and a card. It was kind of hard to face her. I just told her that my mom wanted her to have these. I felt kind of weird inside because I was thinking about all kinds of strange things. What if she really, really likes me? What should I do? Should I tell my parents? If I tell my parents, they'll start making fun of me because my aunt did that sometimes and my dad did that too. He says, Jared has a girlfriend, Jared has a girlfriend and everything like that. It was kind of embarrassing.
On Valentine's Day, we each made our own little valentines with those cut-out hearts, and we had paper and glue, and we would paste them up. And we had a box in our schoolroom, and we would address it to somebody that we wanted to in the class, and we'd drop it in there. And then the teacher would take it out, and we'd distribute it among the children to whom it was addressed.
Rose Megan! Rose Megan!
Okay, it says, Dear John, thanks for dancing with me. I really liked it. Well, I don't have much to say, but I'll write you back today sometime, okay? I forgot to say hi. Love you. Bye-bye. She wrote bye wrong, too. P.S. I love you. Tammy loves John, and write back soon. And P.S.S.S. Will you sit with me at lunch? You don't have to. She was crazy about me.
Well, I've never done this, but one of my friends, you know, like, you come up to a boy, and you bump into him accidentally, and you know, like that, a lot of people have been doing that, and you know, your books fall down like that, but like instead you just bump into them and then you start talking and then you get, you know, interested. I've never done that, but my friends do.
Well, I'm sort of relaxed that I have somebody now and I can, you know, sit back and be calm, but then I'm sort of nervous because I don't know what to do with them. Like, I don't really know them that well, so I'm sort of like, uh-oh, what do I do now? Because I feel so like I have to do this, pressured.
When I grew up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart, what lies ahead? Will there be rainbows day after day? Here's what my sweetheart said. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see.
Cowboys, I think, are the most romantic men in the entire world. And the place was crawling with attractive men with big hats on. And across the room, this short, red-headed cowboy spotted me. And it was not my vision of romance. But he came over and asked if he could sit down, and we had a couple of drinks. And we ended up leaving the bar. So we drove back out to the rodeo grounds where the Yellowstone River flowed through. It was a full moon. We parked and we sat on the hood of my car and watched the moon rise over the Yellowstone River. And that's where we had our first kiss. And it was the best one-night stand I'd ever had. He sort of walked into the motel room and said, mind if I wash the dust off my face?
At the time that I looked at his ad, everyone I knew who was dating through the personals.
I was getting really kind of tired of dating, and I was looking for a permanent relationship. So I had been fine-tuning my ad for the best response in terms of quality and quantity. Bright, verbal, amusing, professional, white Jewish male, 35, seeks a professional woman of warmth.
Were you Robert? Take the woman you hold by the hand to be your wedded wife, for you love, honor, and keep her. In sickness and in health, forsaking all others, keep only unto her, now and always.
I do. I will.
Before my husband and I got married, we were living 3,000 miles apart and just seeing each other every couple of months. And we kept up this long-distance romance for a couple of years, and then we decided that we really wanted to get married. We didn't have any money at all. My husband had just had some dental work done, so we used his old gold bridge. We had it melted down and used it for our wedding rings. And we had planned a beautiful outdoor wedding. And the morning of the wedding, it was pouring rain, so we ended up getting married in a torrential downpour at Howard Johnson's on Interstate 80.
I pronounce then, as a minister and by the laws of the state of Nevada, that you're a husband and wife.
Thank you.
I'll pick a girl who is nice, a little bit shorter than me, has hair like my mom's. First, I would start to get to know them first. after that, for about a month or so or 2 years, try to meet their parents. And then if we could, we'll try to get married or something like that.
I don't know where I got it from, but in the back of my head, when I got a certain age, I should start thinking about getting married, raising a family. And my high school chum decided that I would be a good catch for his cousin. Then I thought, well, she's a nice girl. She was quiet, one of those small, quiet, nice women. I called her for a date, and we went out, and we ended up getting married. There was something just wasn't right. You know, I really wasn't in love with her like I thought I was. And it was, I guess, just the way I was raised. At a certain age, I was supposed to get married. I was supposed to do this and that, and we eventually divorced.
Even though I've been in this relationship for 7 years, and I'm very happy, I have the feeling at the same time, but think of all of what I've missed out on.
Well, you never recapture the intense feeling in love for a long period of time. I'll be overwhelmed for 5 or 10 minutes suddenly and feel like the way I did when we were first in love.
Then I broke up with her, then she went with somebody else, and then she broke up with him and she asked me again. She said that this time I'm going to spend a lot of time with you, but this time it was the same old thing. She really didn't want to sit me with me at lunch or get into a real conversation about something.
Let me tell you about my date from hell. We talked during the week, and he invited me over for dinner at his house. It is a hellhole. So it's like, well, sit down. I've got a bottle of wine. It was the worst wine that I've ever encountered in my life, and it was like rosé. The glasses are filthy. He proceeds to prepare dinner. It was a combination of minute steak and bird's eye frozen vegetables, which he didn't cook long enough, so when it came out of the kitchen, the vegetables were still frozen. So we chew through our minute steaks and our bird's eye frozen vegetables, and then he settles into what the evening's entertainment is going to be, which is a movie that he has rented. Well, he puts on the movie, and it's a porno film. And believe it or not, I continue to date this guy after that.
This is a Valentine I got from my girlfriend this year. It says, "Let's get together." And on the back it says, "To John from Sarah Mulaney, I love you forever." But she's going with my best friend now.
The Chinese zodiac says that we are as incompatible as fire and water.
It's really bad.
We shouldn't be together, according to all the stars and everything.
Isn't that terrible? I don't like that. It gives me the creeps. In the bad times, I always go, "See, that placemat, that paper placemat in that Chinese restaurant was right. We shouldn't be together." We've been married for 5 years. We've been together for 7 years. Maybe it was a 7-year itch when it came right down to it. And I remember walking behind the couch and seeing him sitting on the couch watching MASH reruns and flashing to 20 years later and seeing the same thing. And it was like an, oh my God, I cannot do this. So I left.
The most I've seen has been the boys. They'll go up and they'll say, "Well, you know, I don't think we're getting along. We're fighting too much, and I just want to leave you alone now and just be your friend." But he usually hates the girl after that, and the girl really hates him too.
I've learned that the key to a really good relationship is continuing to talk with the person you're involved with. Once you stop talking, it's all over but the crying.
The kind of crap that you get away with in a relationship, frequently you would never get away with or deign to throw into your friendship. Your friend would really get very upset. Relationships are supposed to be able to assimilate crap at a greater level than friendships.
Me and Pootie were together for a while. We separated. And for about a year or so now, We've been apart, we see each other off and on, and I've always had that feeling deep in my heart that I've always wanted to be with him, but I really didn't say anything because he's the one that broke it off. And I don't know, maybe he had some time to think about what he really wanted, or maybe I was what he really wanted, so now we're back talking again. I hope it works out, but you never know.
When you're going with somebody, you're sort of like, they say that you're mine, you can't have anybody else but me. But, I mean, I still talk to boys when I'm going with somebody. But, you know, they know that I'm just their friend because, you know, my boyfriend sort of sticks up for me and says, now stay away from her. You can only talk to her and, like, stuff like that.
When she broke up with me, she didn't tell me. She just went with another boy. And I was near the carnival, and I found out the hard way. I went to go ask her something. She was walking around holding this boy's hand, and I was about ready to punch that boy right down to the floor. But I knew I shouldn't have done that. So I just went on the bleachers and calmed myself down, and I went around and played some games.
I had a boyfriend once who was kind of crazy. At one point, I went to play racquetball with Morty and came home, and that same crazy guy was waiting for me with a stick, and I had to run upstairs in the bedroom and slam the door, and he knocked the door down with the stick, put a hole through the door, and he was so jealous.
It gets to the point where you're almost afraid to say hello, afraid to say I love you. The communication is completely gone. The emotion is gone to the point of the loving, caring type emotion. The only emotion you have is fear and flight.
It's like those love things. You stick your fingers in, mm-hmm. and the harder you pull, the tighter it gets.
I don't think love is forever, because I really loved Michael, and there are days when I don't even think about him now. But there were times when I couldn't stop thinking about him, to the point where I started getting bitter about it. And I think when it gets into a bitterness, it's not love anymore. You just have to stop. You have to make yourself stop loving somebody because of the destruction.
We had moved out onto a farm that was really isolated from other people. You don't see your friends anymore because the other person is really jealous of your other friends. It got to the point where I knew he was going to kill me if I didn't get out of there. It was destroying everything.
I would still be there with him now, feeling the same way, if he hadn't have tried to kill me. That particular night, I can remember praying and saying, this is it. In fact, I said, God, you can come get me because I'm not going to live through this. I'd gotten to the point, I guess, where I couldn't take any more. And he was a very big man. He weighed over 200 some pounds. And I don't know how I even got my hands on the gun. I really don't know what happened, because he had the gun to my head and he had his hand on my throat. And then after that, I blacked out, and I can remember waking up and finding him dead.
Like a person, and that could be the worst person you can ever be with. It's just like rolling the dice.
I don't know what draws people together, but sometimes you just know when you need to be with another person, and they start to consume your thoughts. I think the whole idea of romantic love is probably so important to us, and something that we're always chasing after, because we don't have the faintest idea of what love is about, and it's still a mystery to the human race.
Sometimes I think there's a feeling inside me that I want to remain in love, and so I ignore the warning signs. There's also a kind of an ethic about love that I think we learn from rock and roll songs and so forth, that you've got to be in love. It's something that one must do in life, and in fact, if you're not in love, you should be sad.
We're looking, always searching for our other halves. And so here you have these half peoples or halves of people wandering around all over the world, and we're constantly in search of the other half. And it's not until we meet the other half that we become happy. Probably, unfortunately, that's the way all of us think about it.
I think there's a great deal of sadness, of suffering to love. The trouble is, if you don't love, you're a zombie.
I really, really like you.
Some sort of longing of being with this beautiful person.
I thought she loved me.
She was crazy about me.
He was beautiful, and I fell madly in love with him.
Now that I've just passed my 40th birthday, it's a harsh realization that nobody's going to come along and save you, no matter what. And you can't do that for anybody else either. I suppose you could hold hands while you're both trying to do it for yourselves, but that's about as far as it goes. Attachments was produced by Catherine Stifter and Jin Allison for A Gathering of Days, an American holiday sampler. For a cassette copy, call the Pacifica Radio Archive at 1-800-735-0230. I'll repeat that number in just a moment. A Gathering of Days is a series produced by Jin Allison and Addie Gevins, with funds provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Additional support comes from KQED-FM in San Francisco and from Soundprint. The theme music was written by Susan Sharp and performed by Hot Combo, accordionist Laurie Sammons with Susan Sharp on the clarinet. If you'd like to order a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-735-0230.